Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue the study that we began entitled Gifts of Miracles and Casting Out Devils. But before we begin today, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come to study your very words together, Lord. It is my prayer today that the saint of God who is listening would be strengthened, encouraged, built up in the things of Thee, that they would grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Father, I do pray if there's a lost soul listening today that's never trusted Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ shed blood alone for the payment of their sins and to secure them a home in heaven, I pray this would be the very day that they'd call from a heart of faith, believing in their heart that Christ died. He died for their sins, was buried, and rose again the third day to pay for all their sins, past, present, and future, and secure them a home in heaven. Father, we will rejoice with the angels in heaven over one sinner who repenteth. Dear Lord, we pray now. We commit this precious time into thy hand. We ask your blessing on it. We pray you'd have your will in your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, as we get into our study or continue our study on gifts of miracles and casting out devils, we want to look at the solution for breaking satanic control in the life of a believer. For the born-again child of God who is oppressed by being influenced by Satan in some way, Scripture provides several means of relief and victory in this aspect of the Christian walk. So we see, as we look at Scripture, we need to remember that Jesus rebuffed Satan's temptation or temptations in the wilderness by quoting Scripture. In the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and 17, the Word of God reminds us and says this, that we are to put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And take the helmet of salvation, and here it is, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, we read the following. For the word of God, again, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and an intents of the heart. Then in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, through the first part of verse 9, we read the following. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Again, we're looking at solutions for breaking satanic control in the life of a believer. And we saw that Scripture is one way. The second thing we want to look at is spiritual armor and prayer. We want to look at three passages of Scripture that speak about this. The first one we want to turn to is in 2 Corinthians, in chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. And we read the following. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And then in Ephesians chapter 6, in verses 10 through 18, we read the following. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You see that? We're told to be strong in the Lord. How? In the power of His might, not our might. Then we're instructed to put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, have your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So we see, so far, it's talking about the spiritual armor. And then it ends up and it says, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So, dear child of God listening today, you know, in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, we see it's talking about the battle that you and I fight each day. It's a spiritual battle. You know, we have fleshly eyes that cannot see the spiritual realm, but it's there and it exists. And our battle is not a physical battle, but a spiritual one. And all the pieces of armor that we're instructed upon to be put on are spiritual in nature. And then after that, after we put on the spiritual armor, we're to pray always. The armor will be useless without prayer. Amen. Then we read in James chapter 4, verses 6 through the first part of verse 8, we read the following. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Humility. Very important in the spiritual battle. We should never have the prideful attitude that we and ourselves alone can stand against and defeat the devil. The only way we can do that is by God's grace. And you and I need all the grace from God that we can get. And here in James, we're told that we can tap into the grace of God. We can receive the grace of God to resist the devil, to fight the devil, by submitting to God, by humility, by saying to God, I can't fight this battle without you, Lord. It's impossible. I'll be defeated. But only through you, only through your power and your might, and the grace that you give me, will I be able to resist the devil. Only by drawing nigh to you, God, and submitting to you, God, will I be victorious. Again, let me remind our listeners that we're looking at solution, the solution for breaking satanic control in the life of a believer. And we've seen the scriptures, the spiritual armor and prayer. The third thing is fasting. Fasting. We read the following in Matthew chapter 17, verse 18 and verse 21. We read the following. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then in verse 21, howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. So sometimes we see that prayer alone is not enough to break satanic control. It has to be coupled with fasting. Amen. Then we read in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke. That's in Isaiah, we read, the prophet Isaiah. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? The purpose is to loose the bands of wickedness. He's saying that the bands of wickedness can be loosed, amen, can be broken through fast, through fasting, amen. As we look at the solution for breaking satanic control in the life of a believer, we see another aspect is refusal to fellowship or associate with evil. Refusal to fellowship or associate with evil. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we want to look at first verse 14, and then we'll look at verses 20 to 21. And we read the following. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Refusal to fellowship or associate with evil is another way that we can break satanic control in the life of a believer. Again, 2 Corinthians, we want to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we want to look at verses 14 through 15 and then verse 17. We read the following. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Baal? Baal is another name of Satan. What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Again, we're looking at the solution for breaking satanic control in the life of a believer. We saw one way we need to go to is the scriptures. The second thing we looked at was spiritual armor and prayer. The third thing, fasting. The fourth, refusal to fellowship or associate with evil. And then number five, very important here, is recognize the nature of the spiritual war. Recognize the nature of the spiritual war. You see, many believers fail to recognize the nature of the spiritual war that we enter into after coming to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some factions of the charismatic movement, in particular, have a tendency to blame everything on Satan or his devils. In other words, credit that he does not deserve. Scripture is clear that there are three different enemies of the believer. In addition to the devil, the Christian must also battle the world and his own flesh, which is also called the old man or the old nature. So as we look at, we need to recognize the nature of the spiritual warfare. There are three areas that I want to look at. The first one is, the Christian must battle his own fleshly nature. And the scriptures are clear about this. For example, we read in Romans chapter 13, verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh, to fulfill the lusts thereof. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, we read the following. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lusts. So the Christian, as we recognize the nature of the spiritual warfare, we must, as Christians, must battle our own fleshly nature. The flesh is wicked. It hates the things of God and the ways of God. It's your flesh. Your sinful, wicked flesh that doesn't want to read God's word, doesn't want to get down on its knees in prayer, doesn't want you to go to church, doesn't want you to witness, see. As we recognize the nature of the spiritual war, number two, the Christian must battle the world. See that? The Christian must battle the world. And we see this clearly from Scripture in 1 John chapter 2, in verses 15 and 16. We're instructed, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it is not of the Father, but is of the world. See that? But all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, Christian, but is of the world. Again, as we're looking at, we are to recognize the nature of the spiritual warfare, we must realize, number three, not all sin and temptation can be blamed on Satan and his devils. You see, there's an attitude in some circles that devils lurk behind every sin and evil, leading some people to attach a devil or spirit to every sin and temptation. You will hear them speak of the spirit of pride, the spirit of gluttony, or the spirit of cancer, and so forth and so on. They are not speaking of an attitude of pride or a simple lack of failure to control what one eats, but of an actual devil of pride or a devil of gluttony that has come and taken up residence within a believer. They will address the supposed devils personally and command them to depart in Jesus' name in an attempt to duplicate the apostolic sign of casting out devils. Now, I want you to note the following problems with such a scenario. There is no Bible precedent for assigning a devil or evil spirit to every sin and evil. Only two times in all of Scripture is a devil given a proper title, as commonly ascribed in charismatic circles. Notice in both cases that it is a spirit and not the spirit. First, in Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, verse 11, we read the following. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. You see that? She had a spirit of infirmity, not the spirit of infirmity. And then we read in Acts chapter 16, verse 16, the following. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed, here it is, with a spirit of divination, not the spirit of divination, a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masses much gain by soothsaying. Now, several times the Bible refers to the spirit of something in the sense of an attitude or condition where the context has nothing to do with devils. Look with me in Romans chapter 11, verse 8. In Romans 11, verse 8, we read the following. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. This has nothing to do with devils, the spirit of slumber. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Again, here we have the spirit, the same spirit of faith. And this has nothing to do with devils. And so you're seeing this, as we're looking at this, we're looking at the spirit of something. As we look at, we saw the spirit of slumber, the spirit of faith, in a sense of attitude or condition, and having nothing to do with devils. In Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Here we're talking about the spirit of meekness. We're to restore someone in the spirit of meekness. We should have the attitude of meekness. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, we read the following. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Here it's talking about the spirit of fear, giving us the condition or the attitude of fear. Has nothing, amen, to do about with devils. In this above verse from 2 Timothy, note the nonsensical conclusions that were the result of Paul was speaking about an evil spirit named fear. Would every Christian be possessed by three clean spirits named power, love, and sound mind? There is no such thing as clean spirits or angels for Christians to be possessed by. The Holy Spirit of God is the only spirit that should and can indwell us. Paul makes no effort to warn Christians of the evil spirits that some within the charismatic movement identify behind every sin. Paul gives equal emphasis to all three battlefronts that Christians must face in the spiritual war. His solution to each has nothing to do with believers seeking out deliverance ministries to have their devils cast out. Paul urges us to gain the victory over the flesh, the world, and the devil through the practical means already discussed, which were, we saw, they were the scriptures, spiritual armor and prayer, fasting, refusal to fellowship or associate with evil, and to recognize the nature of the spiritual warfare. Amen. We're going to stop there and we'll continue our study next time on the gifts of miracles and casting out devils. But I want to remind folks that this study and every study is available on CD. All you have to do is contact me at the address that you'll be given at the end of the broadcast, and I'll be more than happy to send you the studies or studies, whatever you would like. And then again, I have a book offer. I have a book that I've had published entitled Sermons and Studies That Make Sense, Bible Sense. And if you'll write me, drop me a line, tell me you listened to the pastor's study, I'll be more than happy to send you that out free of charge. Till we meet again, this is Brother Gino praying that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.